Well, welcome back. Another edition and another hour of Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. As we have approached now 615 stations across North America, thank you to all of you who have participated in that at your local level, at your stations. We're going to come back. We'll take your calls. Those of you on hold, I'll get right to you. Those new callers, we'll do the best we can to get you to on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final hour here of Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM. And Monday, I'll be originating the program back in our Los Angeles studios. I'm told that they recarpeted and repainted the walls in all our offices out there. So I'm going to have a mess of things to fix when I get back. David in North Dakota, welcome to the show. Hi, David.
Hi there. I'm calling. I got a religious experience I wanted to talk about.
Oh, did you? What happened?
Well, it was with bull hunting. I'd taken up bull hunting about 2 years. I almost shot my brother with a gun, so I quit using guns. So I got into bull hunting, and I was sitting in my blind, and there's like this big buck that came in front of me, and I had my bow ready to shoot, and everything is lined up, perfect distance and everything. And I then a big doe walked in, and pretty soon a Bambi walked in.
Oh, you saw the whole family.
Yeah. I can't do this, I said. So I took every ounce of strength I had to let the bow go down because I'd never really done that before. I always shot it. But
yeah.
Anyways, I'm sitting there and about 15 more, or you know, it's like it's up to like 15 deer.
Wow.
Walking around, some of them within 5 feet of right out in front of my blind, and I'm like sitting there completely still. And
they felt comfortable with you.
They didn't know I was there.
I bet they did. They're smart.
Like, it was cool anyways having them
walk around. They probably figured this guy put his bow down. He's cool.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I know. Well, it was just fun, you know. And I know at that time I kind of realized that without a doubt, there had to be something that made that. So I started to really believe in God then.
Did you ever go back to deer hunting again?
No, I never did.
No.
I'm thinking about using my blind and stuff and start shooting them with cameras. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah, that would be fun indeed. Hey, thanks for that, David. It's a little epiphany that you had. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. The day is coming, Barry. I'll be out there.
Ha, 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 George. I'm so mad at myself. I fell asleep, doggone it, at 11 o'clock and woke up at 3 and Joshua P. Warren was just going
on. Oh, my God. Well, you'll see him at the live event.
I know. As a matter of fact, I don't think I told Tommy, but I'm going to be up in Asheville in the next few weeks and I'm going to go by the theater and take a look and talk to him about ticket sales and so forth.
Yeah, they're going like crazy, I'm told.
They are. I learned a few weeks back when I called them. I called them about once a week or two, and I've become friends with Coco. She runs the Will Call window. And anyway, I said, you know, because it's a small place, it only holds about 500. And she said, well, we've already sold over 300 of them.
Yeah, and that was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was.
We always get about 20 to 40 walk-ins on the day of the event.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad that a few people, you know, that can't plan that far ahead have some chance of getting on.
Yeah, they do.
Getting in. But now listen, I've got to tell you a great, it's a funny story, and it was a dream. I told you about my near-death experience. It had nothing to do with that. I had several teeth pulled 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I've been put up with misery, and I'm starting to feel better. Well,
what teeth? I did 2 years of pre-dent. What teeth did you get pulled?
I had six of them pulled at one time, number four, number five, seven, eight, nine, and ten.
What happened to them? The gums?
Just not taking care of them during my growing up years.
You know what? My mother was a stickler on that. I'm so glad she forced me to do this And you know what? I hated it as a kid, but I love it as an adult.
Well, I had good care growing up. I never hesitated going to the dentist. But for some reason, I've got some genetics in me. My whole family has tooth problems and teeth problems. Anyway, but listen to the story, George. I'm near dead, you know, in the story I was trying to tell you.
Okay.
I didn't get to the end of it, but at the end of it, I was in the Coast to Coast studios with you and Tommy and Lisa and one of my favorites, old George Knapp, that comes blasting out of the Mojave Desert like a Scirocco. Love him. But anyway, I was at the show, and that was my heaven, was being working permanently the rest of the time on the Coast to Coast show.
You sure it wasn't your hell?
Actually, that's a real good question, George.
You never know, Barry.
Yes, but listen, did you and Josh happen to mention the Brown Mountain Lights tonight?
We talked about lights in Missouri, but we didn't get into the Brown Mountain Lights.
Okay, well, just a week or so ago, I have a friend that's been up there 50 times during his life. He used to go up there and camp out for 2 or 3 days.
Ah, okay.
And anyway, he said that he was up there about a week ago and saw him again. He was up, slept all day, and was up all night. And sure enough, I'm sure Josh will talk about it during the show in Asheville.
We sure will. Okay, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. Thanks, Barry. Tommy's got a text for us. What do you have on this one, Tom?
I can't wait. You've met Barry, right?
I met him. He was at an event I was at that I was speaking before some public relations executives, and he showed up as planned in the lobby and waited for me, and I didn't know what he looked like. He knows what I look like. So I walk in, and he stands up, and he's as excitable then as he is when he calls us on the show, and nice guy, really nice guy.
It'll be my first time. I'm looking forward to it. This one is from Christina in Tampa, Florida. You might have been asked this before, but I want to know, what would be the first question you would ask an ET if you were abducted?
Do you believe in God?
That's your very first question?
Absolutely.
See, I'd ask them if they were going to harm me.
No, that wouldn't bother me. I want to know what they think of God and who they are, where they came from, because I think they're looking for the same answers we are. And I don't think they have the answer.
So it would blow you away if they said, we are God?
No, because I wouldn't believe it.
Oh, you wouldn't believe that?
No. I'd say, no, there's a higher power than you.
Even if they demonstrated higher powers?
Yeah, because I still think there's a higher power than them. No matter how high they proved, there's one over them.
Can't sell, George.
And you know I'm right.
Nobody knows they're right until they die.
Oh, you don't believe in God?
No, I do.
Then you know
saying
I'm right.
The ultimate proof is when you die.
There is no proof, even when you die.
Oh, you'll find out when you die.
How do you know?
Because I know.
Have you talked to a dead person?
No, but what are you going to do? When you die, it's another place.
So you really don't know. And if it doesn't exist, I don't think that's the case, but if it doesn't exist, you're not going to know about it anyway.
Then you're not going to know anyway, yeah.
So don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Enjoy your trip in Asheville.
Bye.
Let's go to Stevie in San Pedro, California. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey. I really appreciate the dialogue that you have with your audience.
Thank you.
Hey, what I wanted to find out is, you know, you were saying something about the ETs. And, you know, we've had some really great movies that have been made in the last, 15, 20 years. But to me, Avatar was a movie that was kind of interesting. It was something that, it was kind of a worldly type of a film that was took place on another planet, and good versus evil and stuff like that. And do you feel that these other, we're discovering these, we're sending these probes to Jupiter and stuff like that. Will we find life on another planet, maybe within the next, I'm hoping maybe the next 30 to 50 years. What is your opinion on that?
I think we will find life, Steve, on Mars in some form or fashion. I sure would hope that it would be critters as opposed to microbial, but I think we'll find life there. I think we'll find life in the oceans of Europa, one of the moons up there of Jupiter. And one day when we're able to get there and burst through the ice, I think there'll be some kind of life there, too. It could be fish life, perhaps. But I think the universe, I really believe it, is teeming with intelligent life like ours. And they're going through the same things we've gone through. Wars, you name it, they've gone through it. Maybe they've been able to accomplish things, but I think this universe is loaded with life. I really do. John in North Dakota. Hey, John, take it away.
Hey, George, how's it going?
Good.
See, you know, with all these shootings of, you know, with the police, my dad's been a cop for over 30 years, and he's always had a cool head. I mean, he's always told these young guys, think before you do something.
Yes, he's right. He's right.
Because, you know, like that one in Alabama, I believe, Baton Rouge.
Louisiana.
On the ground. Louisiana. He was down on the ground.
Well, what about the guy in Minnesota, too? He's in his car with his girlfriend and a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the officer probably thought the guy's reaching for a gun. He asked him for his license, and he reaches into his pocket, and he shoots him.
Yeah, my dad had that same experience, and my dad had a cool head. He didn't pull his gun. He said, just put that away. And he went back to their business.
Yeah.
You know, they just got to... You know, I know it takes a second.
Well, it was also a different. It was a different time then. I don't think police officers were as uptight as they are now, because every car they stop, I think that they think this could be the one I get shot.
Yeah, I mean the one in Louisiana. I mean he was on the ground. You know, it's time to hand combat. I mean, you have people around you. And you're going to do something like that, shoot the guy in the chest? Now, that was really, like...
But what pushes a cop to do that?
I don't know. They think they go over the boundary of, you know, enforcing the law. And I just... To me, they just got to take a step back and say, what am I going to do? Because, you know, it's going to change my life if I shoot this guy. You know, I can be just, you know, I can either be justified or going to be thrown in prison for the rest of my life. Like that guy a year ago where he shot the guy in the back.
Yeah, who was running from his car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was... He thought he could get away with it.
Was murder. He killed him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, on the other hand, you know, you'll have somebody who might have, like, a kid. He might have a toy gun with him, and the cops will say, and they look real these days, the cop would say, you know, put it down, and the little kid doesn't, and he's still coming at you, and he's aiming it at you. My God, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. You know, kids want to try to, you know, run with these guns, and, you know, they always have that orange cap on them to identify that they're fake.
Yeah, but some of them put black tape on them now.
Yep, and you know, then it happened out, and, you know, he had a BB gun, and he pointed at a cop.
Yep.
You know, it takes a second. Is that a real gun? But by the time you think about it, is it real or not, you're either dead or you're thinking, what just happened?
Exactly. It's not easy.
No.
It is not easy at all, but what we've got to do, folks, we got to chill. We got to calm down before things really get out of control. We're coming up on a couple conventions, right? And we've seen what has happened on the Donald Trump end with people protesting. You got to calm down. You really do. I had a number of friends tonight said, George, you should just be the voice of reason for people. You talk to so many millions of people every night. You've got to get people to chill. They're listening to you in their cars, in their beds, in restaurants, wherever they're listening, in kitchens, in restaurants, in prisons, police cars. You got to get people to calm down. And if we don't, we're going to destroy each other. Simple as that. Marcus, truck driving in Georgia. Hey, Marcus, take it away.
Hey, how's it going, George?
I'm well. How about you?
Doing pretty good. Finally get to listen to your show after almost 6 months.
What took you so long?
I've been on day shift.
Ah. Ah, and you wake up way too early, so you couldn't listen at night. But if you're streaming, Webmer, a Coast Insider, you can listen anytime you want.
Yeah, I actually need to get in on that.
That's right. It's 15 cents a day, as Tom would say.
Yep. But my friends have called me a modern-day Nostradamus. The name's kind of stuck, so I'm a self-proclaimed modern-day Nostradamus. I've had several... dozens of premonitions and visions, but as the term Nostradamus, none of them good.
Oh boy. So tell us the biggest one that has come true.
The most vivid one I ever had was back in my hometown. I was driving down Route 11. And out of nowhere, it only was visible in my left eye, but I see this red sports car veer off into the median and smack this big oak tree and wrap around it.
And this is this was a vision, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Killed the passenger and the driver, and I asked my buddies that were in the car, did anybody else see that? They looked at me like I was crazy, and I was like, I explained what had happened. Later that night on the news, red sports car wrapped around the tree.
Oh, you saw it.
I've had dozens of others besides that, and I've got two that are coming up within the next year. But I also believe in multiverse theory. So it may not be our reality. It may be another reality that these premonitions may happen.
That's right, and you're tapping into them somehow.
Exactly. I still cannot control it. It's always random. One that I've got going on, I had heard another caller talk about horror movies. I'm assuming you've seen War of the Worlds.
Yes.
Okay, around August, September next year, something similar is supposed to go down.
But it's going to be real.
Yes, it is supposed to be an alien invasion.
Wow.
The only downside is the disease that drove off the ones in the movie is not going to affect them. They have been studying us for decades.
They've learned, haven't they?
Yeah. And then there is another one, which is with the incidents with ISIS going on and all that, there is a bombing that will take place, and I know I'm going to pronounce this wrong, but the Doma de Dovo International Airport in Moscow, there's a bombing that will take place there.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be Chechnyans.
Something like that.
All right. Well, you know what? Email me also, if you would, Marcus, a list of these predictions. And I'd like to just keep them. And, you know, if they ever pop up, I'd like to look at them. If you could be specific, a couple lines on each one at george@coasttocoastam.com. I would love to have that. And by the way, talking about technology, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, lots of information. We're coming back with more open lines and another text message from one of you. Jimmy Church, Friday and Saturday night here on Coast to Coast AM, so make sure you're part of the program. And it's also time for our traditional shout-out. And thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, love terrestrial radio. Thank you. Coast Insiders, and then Sirius XM, Channel 146. How about the chats that are out there? Imaginative Worlds Into Infinity, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the Fantastic Forum 2 Group, the National Radio Club, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters as well. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to our final segment of Open Lines here. Jim in Delaware to get us going. Hey, Jim, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, George, haven't you heard that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh? The old men will dream dreams and the young men see visions. So it doesn't surprise me that that 13-year, that guy when he was 13 had a vision.
Good point.
Anyway, but what was the vision of America being destroyed?
All kinds of calamities happening.
Hey, so, he said red sky and people melting sounds like an
sounds like a nuke
bomb.
Yeah, it does. It does.
What I wanted to talk about is, what do you know about, you know, there's books have been written, you had guests on, about the black-eyed children.
Oh, my gosh. David Weatherly, who does a lot of research in that area, it is, along with that and the missing people with David Paulides, those are the scariest stories I've ever heard. I mean,
wow.
How creepy can it be to have kids show up at your doorstep, all black eyes, and they want in? Ugh. Don't let them in.
I wouldn't let them in, but one contacted me, if it wasn't fake, on a mobile chatting site. I clicked on her profile and seen she had, I asked her, are your eyes black all the way around like that? She said, yes, and I don't know how it happened to me. She said she had her blood checked, and her blood was all messed up. Anyway, she says she never sleeps. And she subsists on raw meat.
Jeez. Almost sounds like a vampire.
A guy meets her at night who calls himself Cain. I said, he's probably a devil worshiper taking you in. Because she tells me that he tells her not to talk to angels and something else I forgot.
Oh, that's not good. Ago. You got
to see. I said, how about me? Is it okay to talk to me? He said, no, he doesn't want me to talk to you either. We chatted a couple more times. The last thing I told her was, what you ought to do is look up a demonologist and have him study you. Because she has no memory of how she became that way.
Does she sound like a nice person?
Yeah.
Huh.
She doesn't have no memory of how she got that.
And this demon guy is still hanging around.
Oh, you mean Cain?
Yeah.
Oh, he sort of took her in.
She's like living with him?
No. I mean, guides are like, yeah, you're evil like us, you know? I think they have been worked over by the devil and sent into the world to scare people, and they think themselves as evil when really they were just mistreated.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's a good point. Jim, good observations there. Thanks. Kimberly in Florida, welcome to the show. Hi, Kim.
Hi, George. I hope you can hear me because I'm truck driving.
We
and
can.
I don't have a place to pull over.
Okay, that's okay. Just be safe.
Okay. The reason I'm calling is because I think we could change the attitude of America by having a National Hug Day starting on Fridays. We could practice and have the official National Hug Day January 1st. And then maybe it'll spread internationally. I mean, hugs help.
Hugs do help. I love them.
Yes, they do. So I think that would help the atmosphere. Now, as far as the hugging police officers right now, they're probably paranoid.
Yeah, they probably don't want you to squeeze them.
Right. So we can maybe have, like, hug a cop buttons or something, you know, and pat, give it to them or, you know, something like that. But I think that would at least be a start.
Good point. Thanks, Kim. Appreciate it. And, Tom, you've got our final text for us. What do you have?
We do from Bobby in Indiana. What's your take on the story of the underwater city near the Greek islands?
Scientists say that it is a natural formation caused by hydrocarbons seeping out of the planet, building what looks like a round-domed city. Interesting take.
But it's amazing how they can tell that it's built by microbes and not by the ancient Greeks.
Amazing. It doesn't look like a city to me. I've seen the pictures of it.
No.
It just looks like a round donut.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. A big donut.
A big round donut. Yeah, absolutely. All right, Tom, you have a good weekend. I'll see you in Denver, by the way. for our Beyond Belief shows. Any special guests that we're going to be taping for future shows?
It's a surprise. Can't tell you.
You can't tell me.
No, you just have to find out.
Well, but if people want to watch the program,
BeyondBelief.com.
I do want to make this announcement. Do you remember when we first started doing Beyond Belief?
Mm-hmm.
I had said that if we can get to a certain subscriber level, that we could start doing our Coast Give Back program. You remember that?
100%.
Which you're going to help administer. We had that email set up. We are 500 people short of being able to start that.
I saw that. I saw that the other day.
So, folks, I want to tell you that you can go to beyondbelief.com. If there are 500 of you who want to watch that program, we would be able to start the Coast Give Back. And what I mean by that is it's an honor system. You know, I've done this privately with some people who have emailed me. Not a lot, but as much as I could. But with this, we're going to be able to allocate some funds, and Tom's going to administer it. I'm just going to continue to market Beyond Belief. But if somebody's got a problem, a smaller problem, we're not talking about huge things, but somebody, for example, wrote in and they couldn't make a house payment of $300. They were going to go into foreclosure. We took care of that for them. Somebody can't pay their utility bill. Somebody said, George, you're going to get people to rip you off. But I think it's worth it, Tom, don't you?
I do. And, you know, you just made me think about the man by the river. I wonder if I can find his number and check in on him. Remember the guy where
the guy we had on?
Yeah, with the... did he come on? The guy that we helped with the unknown help of a person?
No. I don't think we put him back on after the fact.
Okay, because they did a lot for him. They really helped him out.
Oh, you still can't tell people who that was.
We cannot.
But everybody knows the name.
Everybody.
Okay, but we're 500 people short for the Coast Give Back program. If you're interested, that's at beyondbelief.com. When you decide to watch that program, we're watching the numbers very closely over the next 2 months to try to get to that. It frankly has taken us much longer to get to that number than I wanted, Tom.
But we'll get there. We'll get there.
All right. Let's go to Peter in Miami. Welcome to the show. Hi, Peter.
Hello, George. How are you?
Good, sir. How about yourself?
Oh, doing much better when I listen to your show on Friday night.
I like Friday nights. They're fun.
They are fun, and you are so uplifting.
Well, thank you.
You are. And when the United States has gone awry again, you are the perfect prescription.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And that's all I had to say to you.
All right, Peter, my friend. Thank you. That's very kind of you to do that. Just trying to keep us together, folks. That's all. You know, it's something that I think I have to do. I just have to do that. I think we've got time for a few more calls before UFO Phil pops in. John in Ontario. Hey, John.
Hello, George. How are you?
I'm great. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, I'm not doing too bad. I'm getting a little bit of epilepsy going on here.
Ah.
I got that.
What causes that? We'll get to that later.
What I learned about was I talked to you a couple of weeks ago about you had a fellow on, and they were talking about serial killers.
Yes.
And that I worked right beside one. And
we're lucky you didn't become a victim.
Well, actually, I was going to say that because I was 12 at the time, and my father and I worked day and night, so we'd stay there all night.
And who did this guy kill? What types of people?
His name was Donald Everingham.
All right.
Now, it was really hushed up. I never heard much about it.
Did he kill men, women, boys, girls? Yes. What? Kids.
Boys and girls.
Boys and girls, but kids.
He'd strip them down, do whatever he did, I don't know, and then he'd hog-tie them with pantyhose, and they'd shrink. If they, you know, they got wet, they'd shrink and then strangle the child.
Strangle the kid. How'd they catch the guy?
Actually, in the act one time, because somebody phoned and said there was something going on in the bush. There was a car parked in there and that, but he was weird. He was all, I'm only 12, and he's always wanting to take me and, you know, come, why don't you come with me, Friday or Hamilton or whatever.
What made you stay away?
What made me?
Yes, you had a feeling.
I got in his car at the factory, and we were ready to leave. And
you worked at a factory at 12 years old?
Yep. I was offered the foreman job at 16.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's because
In Canada?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I could pick up things and learn things so fast.
Well, you were smart enough not to get in the guy's car, I guess,
when
right?
I got in, he automatically locked the bus.
You mean you actually got in the car?
Yeah, we left and went outside. It was
nighttime. God, John.
And he says, just sit back and don't try to get out of the car.
He was ready to kill you.
I pulled the knob up right away, and I jumped out.
And off you went?
Oh, yeah.
Did he chase you?
No, he didn't. He didn't try to.
But he worked with you, right?
Right beside me, yeah.
So was he there the next day?
Yeah, but what was, it all tied in the end, that every time he asked me to go somewhere with him, another child would die.
But not you.
No, because I wouldn't go. He had a like a real childish and then all of a sudden real mean.
So when did they catch him after all this? How many years after?
Quite a number. They did catch him once, and his father paid the parents off because they were quite wealthy.
But then they caught him again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad he's gone, indeed.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. In the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century, your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Alex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burles, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.